Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good evening. How's everybody doing? Okay?
Woo!
Good. One guy drunk right there, third row. Yeah. We've been drinking at the well, huh? Yes, we have. I'll tell you. Well, we're ready. Yeah, I like that. I think we should be excited to hear the Word of God. Yeah. Nothing really new tonight. I chose this book because I think we need to be reminded of just a lot of just simple stuff. Need to be reminded. So tonight, if you walk out of here in a few minutes just with one thing that you've been reminded of, we've won. That's why I picked 1 John. It's kind of rugged. Takes us back to the basics. So let's pray right now, Father God. Lord, right now, speak to us. Speak to us. Talk to us. In Jesus' name, amen. That was a deep prayer, huh? Let's recap real quickly what we've learned, because we're just here once a month. John starts this book out telling us that, you know what, I have first-handed information about Jesus. I'm not passing something on someone has told me. I've eaten dinner with him. I've fellowshipped with him. We've had lots of long conversations. He said, I know what I'm talking about, and I think I'm qualified to correct a lot of misconceptions that people are telling you about Jesus. Now, in the same way, although we haven't walked with him physically, for 45 years, I've walked with him just the same as John, but just in the spirit. And a lot of you have too. And we've had conversations with the Lord. We've spent a lot of time. He's lectured us. See, he's still with us, just like he was with them, but he's in the spirit. He's not visible. But he's still with us. Pastor Tom was out for announcements. You might know a little bit about Pastor Tom. He used to be Mr. California. He used to work for, a certain farm, Paramount, whatever, da-da-da-da-da. But I know him. I can tell you stuff you don't know. And the same way with Jesus. I could tell you some stuff because I walk with him longer than you that you might not know. For example, I know what he thinks about me when I try to fix stuff without going to him first. He gets ticked off at me. 3 times he's told me, I'm ticked off at you because you're trying to fix things without coming to me first. I know what he thinks about submission. He really, really, really is into submission. If you got somebody over you, submit to them because that pleases him. We started out in a little church just a stone's throw away from here, maybe 2 or 3 stone throws away. That's where I started out as a youth pastor. And that church was really different. There grew to about 15 of us youth, and there was about 10 older people. And I mean, the music was so bad on Sunday morning, we couldn't carry a tune. It was so bad, I really didn't want to invite people. There's a lot of things I didn't like about the church, and God spoke to me so real. One day he had a conversation with me. He said, you submit and do what you're told to do here until I release you. You're under this covering. He's had lectures with me about how to treat my wife. He said, if you don't treat your wife, your prayers will be hindered. I won't even answer your prayers. I mean, I could tell you stuff about the Lord. See, Paul has a lot of passion when he starts this, John, excuse me, has a lot of passion when he starts this book out. He's real passionate. See, passion oftentimes stems from experiences. My God stories, I never get tired of telling them. I spoke down in Thousand Oaks. I had to tell a couple more on Sunday. I mean, these God stories, and I have them by the dozens, I still pinch myself going, did this really happen? This is crazy. I can tell them over and over again, if you came to me and said, I don't believe God's real. I said, what? You don't believe God's real? Listen to some of these stories. I have some first-handed information for you. See, you get experiences when you start involving yourself and partnering yourself in the kingdom of God with Jesus. You can't live a static life with Jesus. You see, right now, he's trying to do things, all kinds of things around you. At his place, at your place of work, he wants to do something. See, he doesn't care about giving you a new job as much as he cares about you being the right person at the wrong job, maybe. Now listen to me. Have you even asked Jesus, what do you want to do at my place of employment? Because he wants to do something. He's never static. Now, once you start partnering with him in doing what he wants to do, that's when all the blessings start coming. What does he want to do in your home life, family life right now? In Thousand Oaks, I brought up that idea again. I said, to know normal, you need to see normal. God wants to do something in your family. I'm a big football fan. Tui Tagovailoa. I said, it's hard name to pronounce. Quarterback for Alabama. See, we think we know what's normal in family. When he was in high school, he got some offers to go to different colleges. And they said, what are you going to do? He says, whatever my dad says to do. He said, in our culture, we're submitted to our dads. And my dad will make the decision for me. Now, see, some of you, that's not normal to you, but that was normal to them, and I think it's pretty normal for Christians, man. It's really cool. And his dad said, we're going to Alabama. Then dad quit his job, mom did. All the siblings quit their jobs and moved to Alabama to support him. Wow. Pastor Jim, I still think, and Tara have the best family unit. I go to my grandson's soccer game, and the whole family's there. Big sister's there, mom and dad, everybody. And they have lives, but they all go out to support the soccer. He's the captain on the soccer team at Centennial. Everybody's there. They're all sitting there, and those girls have lives, but they're out there supporting their brother. That might be normal for Christians. But some of us, we do all the yelling, the screaming. That's not normal. Now, listen to me closely, and I know this is so elementary, but as Christians, there's so many Christians still don't get this, and this is so elementary, I'm almost insulted to say it. We exist to do His will, not ours. Do you get this? This is so simple, I just feel like I'm insulting you. Never, ever, ever. Has God said, I want to bless your job, your family, your finances? No, that's not it. He says, do my will, then I'll automatically do some of that stuff. We are on this earth to be His servant, His slave. Partner with Him. Remember, we're the only body He has. We're connected. The head's in heaven, the body's on earth. We're connected. And as we do His will, then He picks up the tab. It blows me away because I see Christians all the time and they don't get it. God doesn't give, Lord, forgive me for saying it this way, but I don't think He gives a hoot about helping you on your job and helping your family. You got to help Him. He's not your servant. He's your Lord. You're the servant. He's the Lord. You're down here. He's up there. You ask Him what He wants to do. You don't go and say, here's what I want you to do for me all the time. But what do you want me to do? And when you get lost doing what He wants you to do, then He starts giving you the stuff you want and need and desire. It's crazy. And I even feel dumb saying this, but we're losing sight of this. See if you see the connection in the promises of God. Some of you don't see this connection. Look at Philippians 4, 14, 19. It says, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but only you. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I received everything in full and abundance. I'm amply supplied. I've received Aphrodite, everything, In verse 19, and because you're giving, because you went out of your way to give, because of that, I'm giving this word to you and you only. My God will supply all of your needs because you gave. Do you get the connection? If you're having financial problems, you never give to God, then I'm glad you have financial problems. I celebrate your financial problems. And the church sure isn't going to give to you to bail you out if you're not giving to God. Do you get it? I'm the old guy. Remember, I don't give a hoot. I've already had one of the biggest churches in the United States growing. Right now, I'm just going to preach the gospel. People believe it. I'm just going to preach it, man. What do you need more of tonight? Give that away, and you'll get more of it. I need love, then start loving people. I need peace, then stop creating hell. Do you get it? Say, do you get it? Find hurting people. They're almost, see, we've been called just to help hurting people. Love, 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 love. Do you understand? That's why you have a helper. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit helps on the inside. Angels help on the outside. Do you get that? Holy Spirit, we need help on the inside, ask for Holy Spirit. We need help on the outside, ask for angels. So John tells us that when we do God's will, we have fellowship with him. He tells us that. And they tell us something else, just to recap, and then I'm going to get to the verses real quick. 2 and 4, it says, the one who says, I've come to know him. Now this word know is very interesting here. It's gnosko. The one who says, I've come to know him, I've experienced him, I'm getting experiences with him, and doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar. He's a bold-faced liar. If you're here tonight and you're continuing to do pornography and get drunk and sleep around, you say, man, I'm experiencing God. You never experienced God once. Because the Bible can't lie. See, you don't have to be perfect because nobody's perfect. But if you're blatantly sinning against God, you're never going to experience God until you stop sinning and repent. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about the bad, you know you're doing wrong. I have to confess my sins 3 times a day, sometimes 9 times a day. Constant confession. Now, again, see if you see the connection here. Isaiah 58, 7 through 9 and 11. See if you see the connection. My will is to divide your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless into the house. When you see the naked, if I make you see them, then cover them and don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Then, when you do that, then your light will break out like the dawn and your recovery will speedily spring forth and your righteous will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. Then you will cry and he'll say, here I am. If you do these things, in verse 11, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire and all this. See, if you do these things, and I'm not preaching salvation by works. You're saved by grace through faith. You're saved and going to heaven without any works at all. I'm showing you how to have the blessed life. There's a difference. A lot of people are going to go to heaven without being blessed. Do you understand that? A lot of people are going to go to heaven and not get rewards. Do you understand that? So I'm not talking about going to heaven. You're not going to earn your way into heaven. If you give your life to Jesus, you're going to heaven. But I want to talk to you about more than going to heaven. I want to talk to you about being blessed. Now, with all that in mind, let's go back to where we left off at last week, chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to try to cover 15 verses if I can. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay, let's define the world here real quickly. A very easy definition, cosmos. Decorations, adornment, age. In other words, If you've decided to love the fluff of the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. If you made a decision, I'm going to love the fluff of the world, you didn't read the instruction manual well. See, God's just simply saying, there's no way. You can say, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, but I also love the fluff of the world. It doesn't work. Let me give you another illustration so you'll understand this well. You can't say, I love my wife with all my heart, soul, and mind, but I also love this woman and this woman intimately. Then you're lying about the first statement, right? If you're doing the second thing, you're lying about the first statement. Because if you love your wife with all your heart, soul, and mind, you wouldn't give yourself to another woman. And so Jesus is making a statement. He says, if you love God, then you're not going to be doing things God doesn't like. Okay? Let's look at verse 16, 17. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world's passing away, and also it's lust. But the one who does the will of the Father lives forever. Now, somehow we've tied this with sin. He's not saying. Here is what he's saying. Let's look at all three. The lust of the flesh. Lust means passion, passion of the flesh. Does the flesh have passions? Uh-huh. Lemon pie. Jesus doesn't put the desire in your heart for lemon pie. It comes from the flesh. Pumpkin pie. Berry pie. I got through Thanksgiving so well. And my wife said, you know, we had another pumpkin pie left over. We never ate it. I said, oh my gosh. I ate it. To get in the spa at night and get out there on a cold night in that spa and you feel those bubbles, that's a lust of the flesh. Nothing wrong with it. I don't know about you, but man, my wife says I massage my shoulder. Ah, that's a lust of the flesh, man. It feels so good. Now, it doesn't say these things are sinful here. It says they don't come from God. And they're going to pass away. They're temporal. See, I want to think God told me to eat the pumpkin pie. I'd like to say the Spirit of God told me to eat that pumpkin pie. But God says, no, your flesh did that. And so, it's not necessarily sinful. It's just that these things don't come from God, and you shouldn't make them a priority. Do you understand that? Don't let them be top priority. Because they don't come from God. They come from the world, and they're going to pass away. What's the lust of the eyes? I call it eye candy. Cars, boats, planes, beach homes. It's things we see with the eyes, and man. See, if you can afford them, that's great. That's great. I mean, if you can afford a beach home, if you can afford three, praise God. I don't care if you drive a BMW, Mercedes, well, it doesn't matter. If you can afford it, great. See, it's just that the lust of the eyes can get you off track because it doesn't come from God. You think the lust of the eyes aren't powerful? Go look at model homes all day tomorrow. And all of a sudden, you live in a dump. Right? Even if you don't want a new car, go look at new cars. Go look all day tomorrow. Just look at them. I think they've scientifically put some of that new car smell that's addicting. Motorhomes. You won't even want a motorhome, but you go look at them and you'll say, man, I want one of these. I don't even like motorcycles, but if I went to Harley Davidson place, I'd probably have a hard time not coming home with one tomorrow. The boastful pride of life. Jobs, careers, status, degrees, titles, things that make you feel very important, like a VIP. Again, there's nothing wrong with these things. But you can't make them priorities because they're going to pass away. He's saying make godliness a priority, not these things, okay? See, I know. Because I always wanted to be a lawyer. I didn't really see setting up here doing this. And God's will took precedence over that. I got a lot more money. I would love to have a motorhome. I do like motorhomes. They're really cool. But God's will took precedence. When can I use it? I'm here every Sunday weekend. I probably couldn't go with my friends. They go on weekends. I couldn't go. I'd like to have a PhD, but I can't waste the time to get it. I got a job to do. Now, let's look at verse 18. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it's the last hour. And I don't want to say a lot more about that, but man alive, this Antichrist spirit has grown tremendously the last three or four decades. Man, we live in a world today where there's a lot of Antichrist spirits. Now, there is going to be a political figure. It's called the Antichrist. Revelation 13, 16, 19, he's spoken of. He's going to be a world dictator. He's going to come on the scene. When he comes on the scene, it's all over, baby. It's done. I believe he's alive right now somewhere. I believe he's over in Europe or Asia or somewhere. He's alive. The Antichrist is alive. He's just waiting to be possessed by the devil. And he's going to come. And the Bible says he can't come to power till the church is gone. If he's alive right now and the church has to be gone, we're getting down to the wire. Now, he says here, though, I don't want to talk about the person, the dictator, Antichrist. I want to talk about the Antichrist spirit in the world right now. Look at chapter 4 and 3. It says, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now he's already in the world. Now, Antichrist has two meanings. It means to be opposed to Christ and to take the place of Christ. And to me, there's no better illustration I could use right now than Hollywood. Hollywood is opposed to Christ, and they try to take the place of Christ. I cannot believe all the talk show hosts that make jokes out of Jesus, angels, heaven. They scoff, they laugh at Christians. What an Antichrist spirit. They don't understand Jude 1 and 10 at all. Look at Jude 1 and 10 in the CEV. But these people insult powers they don't know diddly about. They're like senseless animals. They end up getting destroyed because they live only by their feelings. Gosh, what an Antichrist spirit in the world today. Sometimes Hollywood, I mean, I love the people, but the whole spirit makes me gag. It just, you know, they are so full of themselves and they have no reverence, no fear, no respect. They just don't know what they're talking about. Now, these Antichrist spirit, this Antichrist spirit is fueled by people who don't believe in the Christ of the Bible. Now, there are believers in the church that don't believe in the Christ of the Bible. See, to be saved, you must say Jesus is Lord, master, owner. Now, Christ means Christos. It means the anointed one sent from heaven. Now, that's the whole idea of 1 John. He says, you can't say I believe that Christos, I believe he's the anointed one sent from heaven. I believe that with all my heart, but I don't do what he says. Then you're lying. If he came from heaven, Christos, and he's anointed from God, then you're not water baptized? What's up with that? He came from heaven. He's the representative. If he's the Christos, you better do what he says. He says he baptized in water. He says to pray. He says to do these things. We need to at least line ourselves up. Remember, make that important to do. Being a Christian is not a complex thing at all. It's just following Christos. He came from heaven with a message. Let's see what he says, and let's try to line up with it. That's the best way to put it. See, without Christ, you can't come to God. Chuck Smith, I heard him say it a long time ago, and I really liked Chuck Smith when he was alive. He said, the Jewish people pray to God, but they say, we don't need Jesus. He said, then I wonder what God they're praying to. Because you can't pray to God Jehovah, creator of the heavens and earth, without Jesus. See, even the Jewish people believed that you had to have a sacrifice to get to God. That's the whole temple thing in Tabernacle. You had to have a sacrifice to get to God. Well, Jesus is the only sacrifice right now to get to God. Look at John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. No one. Are all religions right? No, they're not. Can people of different religions be saved? Yeah, they can. They can come to Jesus. They can do that. But the religion itself is not teaching it. Again, I hate to be, repetitious with that. But again, the blue ball of clay, we're all born as a blue ball of clay. If you can see a blue, pretend like you see a blue ball of clay here. We're all born a blue ball of clay. Heaven's purple. It's royalty, purple. When you ask to get saved, the red ball of clay is the Holy Spirit. He comes down and joins the blue. And see, the blue's cut off from God. But when you get to holy, you get born again, Jesus comes, the Holy Spirit comes, the red ball of clay, and you start becoming a purple ball of clay. Now you can communicate with heaven. You're one with them because you're purple. But without Jesus, you can't become purple. You can't. Impossible. You stay blue. And you have no fellowship with the heavenly kingdom. I know you get that. We have to receive the Holy Spirit to be hooked up with God. He's like the electrical cord that plugs us into God. Jesus, accepting Jesus, accepting the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 19. He says, now we're talking about people that say they love God, but they really don't. And he says, they went out from us because they were not really of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they're not all of us. Now, this isn't talking about Valley Bible Fellowship. It's talking about the church at large. See, we have people all the time that go back to the altar. They answer the altar call. But what they haven't done is these people, they've never tamed the lust of the flesh. They've never tamed the lust of the eyes. They've never tamed the boastful pride of life. In Matthew 4, you see that they let these things crowd out their love for Jesus. See, if you go back there and you say, I want to get saved, and you go back there and they pray the prayer and everything, you're being tested the minute you walk out of there. Are you going to tell people you're a Christian? Are you going to go get a Bible? Are you going to start serving the Lord? Again, and I said it before, the blue ball of clay and the red, you're never eternally secure until a certain point in sanctification when the red and blues be joined together. There's a certain point. We never know when that point is. When you're eternally secure. You have some stuff to prove first. It said one place in the Bible, Jesus wasn't giving himself to people because he understood all people. And he knew. So, you're being tested. Look at verse 20, 21. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know, or you know all things, it says. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. The word here, Greek word for know is eido, E-I-D-O. And I don't know if we have, eido means to know some intuitively. There's another word for know in the Greek, and it's gnosko, and it means to know more experientially. So eido is to know intuitively, gnosko is to know more experientially. Now, I'm going to explain that here in a second. Here the word is eido, E-I-D-O. Because the Holy Spirit lives in me, there's certain things I just know. Don't ask me how I know, I just know. I can't tell you why I know. I know because of the Holy Spirit. This doesn't say we don't have teachers that teach us. What the teachers, they expound on the word, but the Holy Spirit has to teach you. But you know, see, I don't know all things because I've experienced all things. Some stuff I know by gnosko, some I know by eido. For example, I know that there's a heaven. Have I experienced it? No. I know it intuitively, and I know it very, very well. I know there's angels. Do I know that experientially? Yeah, kind of. I kind of have some experiences. So gnosko. Do I know there's a Holy Spirit? Gnosko. I've experienced this. I know him gnosko very well. And gnosko means know very well. Do I know about Jesus is in heaven? I don't know that by experience, but I know that intuitively. I know it's true. Jesus died on the cross. I know that intuitively. I know that I know that I know that I know, but I don't experience it. So that's kind of the two words, to know intuitively, to know by experience. Now, it's because of the Holy Spirit that I know all things. I don't know all things by experience, but I know all things intuitively because of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever tried to explain something to a non-believer that you just know to be true? And they go, I don't get it. I don't think so. You say, but you don't get this? No, I don't get it. No, they don't have the Holy Spirit. And the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. You're wasting your breath. Pray for them. If they're kind of getting it, then it means the Holy Spirit's visiting them right there while you're talking to them. If not, you're wasting your time right now. Go pray. Come back another day. Now, look at verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. The one who denies the Father and the Son. See, they're a package deal. The Father and Son's a package deal. Can't have one without the other. We already explained that. Verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Now, let's look at a new definition, Greek word for confess. Here's a new definition, and it means to celebrate. Confess can mean celebrate. So, I like that. It says people that don't celebrate Jesus don't have the Father. That's why we sing worship songs of Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. So, what do you do when you celebrate? You make a big deal out of stuff, right? You make a big deal out of Jesus. Now, you get the idea. Do you understand what John is doing here in this whole book? What he's doing is he's flushing out the imposters. He's flushing them out for us. That's why I chose this book, because I believe the valley every once in a while gets one or two imposters coming through here. And he's flushing them out, saying, here's the real deal. Verse 24. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you and it stays in you, then you'll also abide in the Son and the Father. I think among many other things, one thing this says is, remember your mentors in Christ. Remember your roots. Don't get away from your roots. Don't get away from them. Keep up with the basics. See, I see a lot of young people, they get in the faith, they pray, and they go, we don't have to go to church, man. You know, they get too cool. They forgot their roots. You don't have to go to church to be saved. But I don't think you can be a strong Christian without it. Because God has made a platform for showing up here. And he's going to keep us on track. Small groups, your roots. Studying the Word. See, again, sometimes we don't get it. Why do we do devotions every day? Why do you make it so important? Like God's going to give us brownie points for devotions? No, because automatically, if you don't do devotions every day, you will forget what the Bible teaches. Let me give you an example. The Bible says we're to confess our sins. How many of us haven't done that for a while? We haven't, at the end of the day, confessed our sins. The Bible says that we're to bless our enemies. We read that, we go, oh yeah, I forgot. Whoa, I'm glad I went to devotion, but I forgot. I'm supposed to bless my enemies. Love your wife. Listen to your wife. You might have saw it on the internet. It says, my wife says, I never listen to her. At least, I think that's what she said. Submit to your husbands. Oh, we read that and we go, what? I'm supposed to submit to my husband. Wow. We forget that. What does that mean? He wears the pants. If he's a godly man, let him wear the pants. Gals, I love you, and I'm somewhat afraid of my wife. But she lets me wear the pants, usually. And if she doesn't, I remind her. Submit just means line up. If they're godly, line up. We forget that. We forget. We read in the Bible, we go, it says what you mete out to others is measured back to you. Oh, I forgot. When we read in our devotions, your battle's not against flesh and blood. We go, whoa, I didn't remember that. I needed to be refocused on that. That this is not Joe and Mary. This is demons behind it. Given will be given back. Oh, see, we forget. There's a rhyme and a reason for this. See, there's a reason to be baptized in water. I told you, a friend of mine saw, one of his associates saw somebody dragging a corpse out of the tank when somebody's baptizing. And let's say something really does happen. It might. And if you're not baptized, you're still carrying around some stinky corpse. Look at verse 25. It says, this is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. Now, we know this Greek word for eternal doesn't always necessarily mean forever and ever and ever and ever. It can be a period of time. But don't let that shake you up, because there's plenty of other verses that says we will live forever and ever and ever. Jesus said we'll never even die, ever, ever, ever. So a lot of other verses that go with this to make this word mean forever and ever and ever. See, it blows me away to think that I'm just years away, maybe days away, all of us. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Years away from being in heaven. Our life hasn't even begun yet. We're in a state of interruption on this earth. Hadn't even begun yet. If it's true what the Bible says, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day, we've only been alive for like a year and a half, if we're my age. I mean, we haven't been long alive at all. I was doing a funeral. I've done a couple funerals lately, and children, they go, man, they're children. Will they miss me? Well, so far, if they went to be with Jesus now, and you're 50 and you live to be 75, they only had to miss you for like 9 minutes. They could do without you for 9 minutes. If 1,000 years a day, day is 1,000 years. In fact, somebody said, because there's no concept of time in heaven, we're already there with them. You don't get that, do you? We could already be there. Because there's no time element there like there is here. Crazy thoughts. He has promised us eternal life. Let's jump over to 3:1, and then we'll get a few more verses and we'll go. See, I'll be 10 more minutes. Give me 10 more minutes. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. We're children of God. For this reason, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. We're children of God. Think about this. I'm a Vietti. Viettis worry a lot. My mama worried, my dad worried. And guess what I have a tendency to do? Worry. I passed down Tara. Josh, I don't know. In the kitchen yesterday, I asked, Debbie, how old are these boiled eggs? 4 days. You sure they're 4 days, Debbie? Last night, I said, what's all the bowls of water all over the house for? I said, I'm trying to catch fleas. Because I think my dog might have brought them in. And I'm worried. Every time I get a scratch, I think I got a flea bite. I worry. I'm just a May worrier. Viettis are hotheads. We're Italianos. You ought to see my grandma and grandpa came from Italy. They're hotheads. And so what I have a tendency to do, be a hothead. I'm a Vietti. But see, that can't be an excuse, because I've really got the DNA of Jesus in me right now. And the DNA of Jesus should be stronger than my Italian DNA. It should be stronger. See, we really are the children of Jesus by the blood, by the blood. See, when we look at each other, really, we are, if we have physical family members that aren't born again, then you and I are really closer than I am to them. As relatives, we're really relatives closer than I am to those non-saved physical relatives. We got the blood of Jesus and the DNA. We're really hooked up. And, you know, because I have the DNA of Jesus, I'm automatically, as I grow, going to love more and more. Last night, it really bothered me greatly. Debbie and I was at the gas station. I saw a young girl over going through the trash cans there on Allen Road in Stockdale. And I saw her, and she looked pretty normal. She took a soft drink out and started drinking it. She looked pretty normal. And I said, Debbie, should we go over there? Should we go over there? And I knew I was supposed to go over there. And I went home, and I couldn't even sleep. Going, oh God, and I prayed for her. I prayed right there. As soon as Debbie and I realized, I said, Lord, I pray for her, right? But I should have did more than prayed. See, I got the DNA of Jesus, and there's things I can't throw off. I have his DNA. Why can't I enjoy sin? Because of the DNA in me. I'm a child of God. Why do I want to come to church? Because the DNA in me. I can't help it. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now we're children of God. It has not appeared yet what we shall be. We don't know. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, because we'll see him just as he is. Now, Paul dedicated a whole chapter in Corinthians to this, and he said, you ask, what kind of body do I get when I go to heaven? He says, you fool, don't you understand? And in that chapter, Paul kind of tells us, he says, your body's going to look similar, but not really like it is now, but similar, like a seed and a plant. And he says that like stars in heaven, all of us will differ in brightness, and that has to do with rewards, I think. See, the Bible says heaven's going to be a gas. Again, I don't know why, but some of you probably think like I thought for my first few years. I thought heaven was kind of an old-fashioned place, you know, and the earth was kind of in. You know, people had died with that old-fashioned place. No, no, no. Heaven is the in place. It'll make this world look like Andy of Mayberry. It's the in-style place. It's the fashionable place. It's where life is really happening. If they look down here, if they could see us, they feel pathetically sorry for us. See, we can't even imagine what heaven's like. Apostle Paul had a near-death experience, came back, and he says, I don't have words. I don't have words. God said, don't even try. I can't even try to explain to you what it's like. I'm blown away. It would be like having a child that was born blind. And you try, when that child's 12 years old, you try to explain a fantastic sunset to them. And it's orange. They don't know what orange is. They don't know what yellow is. They've never seen yellow. They've never seen orange. How could you describe that fantastic sunset to a child that was born blind? And that's the way it was heaven. God says, I'm not even going to try to explain it to you. There's no way on the earth you'll get it. It's going to blow you away. When you get to heaven, it's going to blow you away. I bet we're speechless for 9,900 years. We're just going to be blown away. So God said, I'm not even going to try. Verse 3, we'll do two more. 3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he's pure. We would be a fool to not be working on our purity. We'd be a fool. Currently, I'm majoring on my heart. I'm majoring on the stuff that people don't see, but I know it's in there. I'm majoring on it. Let me ask you something right here. This is really cool. If Jesus came back tonight and he said, Mondo, I want to talk to you about something. What's the first thought that goes through your mind? Whatever that is, that's what you need to be working on. Can I say it again? If you got to heaven tonight, Jesus says, hey, Ron, come here. I want to talk to you about something. Ron, come here. Whatever goes through my mind right away, oh, no, that's what you need to be working on. Does that make sense? I might be lying to you, but one more. Verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. What is sin? No laws. No rules. Some of you never tell yourself no. When I very first got saved, my first year, my wife says, you never tell yourself no. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of things I would like to do, but I have to tell myself no. This is going to sound really bad, but there's a few times I would have liked to got drunk. Had a bad day, and I just like to forget my troubles. But I tell myself no. There's times I'd really like to watch a movie that I know I shouldn't watch. I tell myself no. And believe it or not, and I don't expect most of you to relate to this, there's times I really like to flip somebody off. Really badly. Am I the only one? Is there anybody who's been tempted? But I tell myself no. It's not what a Christian does. Times I want to tell people what I think, and I tell myself, no, I'm not lawless. I have laws. I self-impose rules. I have rules imposed by the devil. Is that true? I mean, you think, oh, man, you're lame. Well, let's talk about your mistakes. I'm sure you have some real diddle, whatever they're called. Blows me away when people try to make themselves look so righteous. None of us are righteous. As I said the other day, there's times where I like to laugh a lot because we're not getting out of this thing without grace anyway. We're really not. We got to take it serious. I agree. And then he goes on to talk about sin, and I'll leave you with one last thought. How many of you have just stopped sinning primarily because you got tired of feeling miserable? See, John comes along. He's an old guy now. He's old. And he's just going to flush the imposters out. He's going to say, this Christian thing is really about following Jesus. And I gave you the word kippah some time ago. And I think it's terio in the Greek, if I remember correctly. And it means to hold in high regard. It doesn't mean we're perfect. We're not perfect at all. None of us are. And to act like we're perfect, just that's stupid. Because we're not. And we're all going to have a gracious God to get into heaven. But he's already supplied the way. So he's already gracious. So, did you get something tonight? Okay, did you get reminded of something? Whatever, yeah. We're going to continue once a month Bible study, verse by verse. I really feel someplace in our church we need to have a verse by verse. Just I think we need to go through the Bible. Because a lot of people know what the Bible says. So again, last word I'll leave you with. God has never expected perfection out of anybody. He just wants sincerity. He wants us to be sincere. When we fall, be serious about it. Tell him you're sorry. Confess it. Get up. Wipe the and try to do better. And then grace supplies where we can't make it, okay? It supplies. So let's pray this right here. Father God, I thank you that every time we open up the Bible, it talks to us. And Lord, I am so grateful for you sending your Son to die on a cross for my salvation. That I don't have to be perfect to make it. But that does not excuse us for not trying the best we can to be the best Christians we can be. It does not excuse us. So tonight, you showed up, you've spoken to us. If there's anybody here tonight that says, I don't know Jesus, I've never been born again. You say, why do you do altar calls? All I want to do is I want to see the people that want to follow Jesus, and I want to pray that they'll receive the Holy Spirit to help them do that. Because you can't do it by yourself. If you're here tonight, you say, Pastor Ron, I want to start following Jesus. I'm not following him currently. I want to start. Raise your hand. I'm going to say a prayer for you because God will see it. Just raise your hand up. Say, I want to follow Jesus, and I'm not following him right now. Raise it up high. Don't be ashamed. Raise it up very high. Say, I want to start following Jesus, and I'm not. Raise it up. And then if you didn't raise your hand and you want to start following Jesus and you're not, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord God, tonight, send the Holy Spirit. Come and live in my body. And give me the help I need to start following Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be safe out there.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.